Blog Talk Radio.
Nobody have to tell you it's your season. But if you're in Christ Jesus, amen, there will be some signs identifying that this is your season. That's one of my favorite songs of the year. This is your season for grace and favor. Well, today is Friday. We're coming to the close of another week on this broadcast. And I tell you, God has been doing some miraculous things. We have learned so much this week, and we're continuing with our series, The Heart of a Servant. And I tell you, I feel like I'm about to preach myself. Amen. I've had jitters in my stomach because I'm so excited about our guest speaker on today. Now, this isn't his first appearance on A Time of Reflection with New Destiny Ministries. Some months ago, before we even met one another in the personal realm, amen, he was on this radio broadcast, amen, and we're just so excited to have him with us today. I try to tell our people, Bishop, to call in early. It's the reason I say call in early, amen, not just to get him on the line, but this man is a busy man. He's traveling from city to city and state to state, making full proof of his ministry. Not my ministry, but his ministry. That is the assignment that God has given him. And nobody can perform that assignment like the one it's been designated for. Amen. I can't do what he do. Amen. I can dream, amen, and have visions and say, oh, Lord, when I get to that stage, but no one can perform your assignment like you. And that's why it's imperative to stay in your lane. That's why it's imperative to seek God, amen, for what he is calling you to do. So we're talking about the heart of a servant today, and this man needs no introduction. He is my pastor, and I tell you, God has given me the best. And I don't think God would have given me anything less. For me to make this transition, God had to place me in a place where I could hear from him. God had to put me in a place where I knew unequivocally that it was God's doing and not mine. Amen. And I tell you, I've just been so happy, and he has made this transition so much easier than I ever could have dreamed of. Really, you know, when, I mean, you know, when God has a calling on your life and when he gives you an assignment, sometimes it's not something that you so readily embrace. Amen. And that was my position, and the Lord telling me to come back to this place. And I say this place, but this is my home, New Orleans, Louisiana. Half of my life I spent here, and the other half I spent abroad. Amen. But now God is positioning me, and it is a new season, and I am embracing it fully. There's been some challenges, but nevertheless, I know God. God has my back. If no one else has my back, when God have assigned you and have given you a mandate to do certain things, many times it bewilders others. But you know one thing? If God said it to you, stand on it, because every promise that he made, God will never renege on it. So it gives me pleasure today to introduce again my pastor. He is an author. He is a husband. He is a father. He is also a spiritual father of many sons and daughters. Amen. And what I love about him, before I even met him, was his personality. The spirit of humility was evident on his life. And I tell you, I just love him, and I appreciate the gift of wisdom that God has given to him. Everybody don't have a gift of wisdom. I believe that the gift of wisdom rests on this young man. And I call him young because I'm about 10 years his senior, but nevertheless, no disrespect, because I would never disrespect him in that manner. So I love him, and I appreciate him and his wife and his mother and his brother and the whole Blake family, the New Home family of churches. And also, he is the presiding prelate of the Family of Churches Fellowship International. Amen. So we just thank God for him today. He don't have a lot of time, so amen, I'm going to put him right on. Amen. God bless you, Pastor. How are you today?
I am fantastic, and I'm so honored to be on with you again today. And, you know, I'm listening to you, but when the Lord sent you home and the Lord chose to connect you to my life, it was one of the biggest blessings. You have just been such such a joy, such an encouragement. Mm. You've been such a motivator, such a supporter of everything that I put my hand to. And it's not every day that you get people in your life that just really have your back at every turn. And you've proven to be that person in my life, and I thank you for that. I celebrate the assignment on your life as well. I celebrate the assignment on your life. And the assignment on your life, the world has not yet been made privy to the things that God has really in store for you and what God is going to put to your hand and trust in your care. God has not revealed it to the world yet because everybody's not designed to participate in it. You are a very special woman of God, and those that really have a heart to hear God, they know what I'm saying. You are a very, very special woman of God. And I would encourage, before I share the word of God, I would encourage every person listening to us today to support this ministry financially. God has given Evangelist Bernard some specific instruction and assignment that is going to require financial support. And this is good ground. I've never doubted that, but I know it for certain now. This ministry right here is good ground, and I would encourage every person that is listening, and especially those of you who are ongoing listeners and participate in this ministry and benefit from it, I would really encourage you to do whatever you need to do, and I'm certain she'll give you the instruction at some point as to how you can financially support this ministry. I would encourage you to do that today. I love your theme for this particular week, I think it is, right? The Servant's Heart?
Yes, it's the second week of the series.
I love the theme. And as I was pondering it and contemplating sharing with your audience and with you today, the Spirit of God brought me to Philippians chapter 2, where the word starts off, it says, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. What we're going to do is, I believe here in Philippians chapter 2, is an outline of the characteristics of the consummate servant, which is Jesus Christ. And what he's encouraging us to do, what the writer's admonishing us to do, when you read the context, as we're going to read in a minute, he's admonishing us to take upon us the same attributes, the same personality, if you would, the same model, the same behavior as Jesus Christ, because he was the consummate servant. And it's unfortunate, but in today's church, the local church is structured, not the spiritual body of Christ, but the local church, the part of the church that is physical and visible and is somewhat under the control of men. The way it is structured, it is structured as a power struggle. If you go into anybody's church, you can find those who are doing whatever they might do for the sole purpose of getting an advantage or pushing their own agenda or struggling for positions of power. And this does not reflect our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. God has not called any of us to assume the high seat. Rather, God has called us to assume the low seat and give him the opportunity to bring us to the high seat, but in the spirit of humility. As I looked in Philippians chapter number 2, because the heart of something is the essence of it, and if we're going to have a servant's heart, we have to have the same spirit that Jesus Christ had. If you look in Philippians 2:2, he says again, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind, that ye be like-minded, having the same love. Number one, there are, in my opinion, too many people in ministry who don't like people. There are too many people in positions in religious organizations that when you really boil it down, they don't like people. They like the limelight. They like the accolades. They like the financial benefits of it. They like being popular, but they don't like people.
Wow.
You will never be a genuine servant if you do not love people. You know, when I first got a chance to embrace you, I gathered from what I discerned in the spirit before I ever met you that you love people.
Oh, yeah.
But now that I've had the opportunity to spend so much time around you and to be in the same ministry with you, your love for people is so apparent that you don't even have to say a word. You have the kind of love for people that they can be on the other side of a packed church and see your face and gravitate to you because they can feel the love emanating from your personality and from your demeanor. I believe this is what we need more of in the body of Christ today. We don't need more big shots. We don't need more people who want to develop their own cliques and want to isolate themselves and create, these little pockets of elitism. We need more people that have that same love for people that Jesus Christ had. You know, one of the things that I've actually been criticized for is one of the things I'm most proud of. I believe that God has given me a personal and individual ministry to homeless people. So whatever city I'm in, I try to keep some money on the side that when I encounter someone homeless and the Spirit of God speaks to my heart, that I'm able to sow into them. I'm able to bless them. And I've had people criticize me and say, well, you know, you're just giving these monies to these people and all they're going to do is take it and go get drunk with it. Well, you know, God never asked me to analyze what a person might do with the love I share.
Uh-huh.
But he did require of me to love my brother. And I believe today we have too many leaders that don't love people because we do not equate leadership with servanthood. I don't equate my positions, whatever they might be, as anything other than a greater opportunity to serve people. And the only way I can serve people is that I must genuinely love them.
Mm-hmm.
The second thing we see in verse 3 of Philippians 2, he says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem the other better than themselves. Number one, a servant loves people. Number two, a servant has control of his or her ego. He says, in lowliness of mind, he says, have the same mind that Christ had. Bring yourself down. He says, in lowliness of mind, esteem the other higher than yourself. One of the struggles, again, that we have in the body of Christ is that everybody's trying to prove I'm bigger. Everybody's trying to prove I'm more important. Everybody's trying to prove I have more. Everybody's trying to prove I have the authority. But the reality is that God is calling for us to get control of our egos. And he's calling for me to esteem you and to bring myself down. You cannot be a servant along the manner or the order of Jesus Christ with an out-of-control ego. Frankly, I think in the body of Christ today, we have egomaniacs. We have people who are submitted to no one, people that that want their names in bright lights, people that only want to embrace people that they can look down on and hold down and keep down. The ego is out of control in the body of Christ. And one man put it so wisely when he said, if you're operating in your ego, it simply means that you're edging God out.
Right.
The servant has control of his or her ego. If you look in Philippians 2, 5 through 7, I believe this is just an outline of the characteristics of a great servant. If you look in Philippians 2 and 4, he says, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. A servant puts others ahead of him or herself. A servant puts others ahead of him or herself. A servant will go out of his or her way to benefit someone else. To serve someone is to put yourself at a disadvantage sometimes that you might advance another.
My God.
To serve means to take someone else, someone else's agenda, someone else's needs, and put theirs ahead of yours. And some might say, well, you know, that's very foolish for you to take and put others ahead of you, put their needs and their agenda ahead of yours. But you see, if you read your Bible, the Bible declares over and over, agenda and your needs ahead of mine, God then will take up mine. Because whatever I make happen for another, God then supernaturally makes happen for me.
Mm-hmm.
A servant puts others ahead of himself. And now if you look down in Philippians 2, 5 and 7, just read these verses and meditate on them. I believe you'll see what amounts to be a great servant. He says in verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Now, notice the scripture says that Jesus Christ, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. Point number four, a servant knows who they are in God. Jesus knew who he was, but watch this. Servants don't need the validation of people, so they're free to serve without feeling diminished. Though Jesus knew he was equal with God, he could become like us because he knew who he was.
Who
he didn't
was.
Need the approval of men to satisfy a lacking self-esteem. Jesus knew who he was, and any great servant has to know who he or she is in the eyes of God if you will ever be able to fulfill your role as a servant in the earth. I don't need the accolades of men. I don't need the approval of men. I don't need the applause of men. I don't need men to sanction me.
Mm-hmm.
I know who I am, so I don't have to. I don't have to put on airs. I don't have to drive a certain car. I don't have to wear certain kinds of clothes. I don't have to have flash a certain amount of money. I know who I am in God.
Mm-hmm.
So when I walk into a situation that calls for me to humble myself, it's not a struggle for me because I already know who I am in God. So when I serve those that others might say don't matter, it doesn't impact me psychologically as it pertains to what people might think of me, because it doesn't matter what people think. I already know what God has said about me. And if you're going to be a great servant, you're going to have to be certain about who you are in God. Servants know who they are in God. Now watch this. In verse 7, again it says, but he made of himself no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. Point number 5, a servant relates to others. Jesus became like us. I can't serve people that I can't relate to.
All right.
A servant relates to others. Jesus became like us. And there are too many so-called servants that don't identify. They don't relate. But look what the Apostle Paul says in Galatians 6, 1 and 2. He says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. And then he says, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. I have to learn to relate to people where they are, because I never know if tomorrow holds that same place for me. There are too many in the body of Christ that behave as though they are above and beyond, some to the extent that they've forgotten their history. They've forgotten their testimony. They've forgotten where God has brought them from, and now they're so sanctified they don't relate to sinners anymore. They don't want to touch those people. They don't want to identify with those people anymore. It's because they lack the servant's heart. A servant always identifies with people, just like Jesus became like us. You and I have to become like those we will serve and minister to. And then watch this, number 6 in verse 8, he says, in Philippians 2 and 8, he says, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto the death, even the death of the cross. Number 6, a servant humbles himself to please God. You know, I hear people praying, Lord, humble me, but I don't know if they've really analyzed that prayer. All through Scripture instructs us to humble ourselves. And I believe that every servant takes inventory of his or her motives, their attitudes, and their approach. And there are times that as a servant with a servant's heart, I have to change my approach. There have been times as a pastor that I've spoken things that were true, but I didn't say it the right way.
All right.
And I had to come back, and I had to go to my own sheep and apologize for the way I said it, because it wasn't said with the spirit or in the spirit of humility. People cannot receive from folk that are sitting above them. Servants, just like Jesus Christ, humble themselves to obey God. You cannot fulfill the will of God on your life if you do not humble yourself. In 1 Peter 5 and 5, it says, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Ye all of you be subject one to another. And he says, be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. When you are a true servant, you bring yourself down to the lowest place, because the only way you can fulfill the will of God for your life is to humble yourself. And then watch this, number 7, and I'm through. In Philippians 2 and 9, it says, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name. Number 7, a servant understands that God will ultimately promote him. A servant understands that God will ultimately promote her. A lot of times we look at servants and we think they're foolish, and we think that they lack understanding, because many times servants are used, and sometimes they're even abused by those they serve. As a pastor is nothing but a servant. And there are times that even as a pastor, I'm used and abused by my own sheep. But ultimately, in my spirit, I understand that at the end of the day, when it's all said and done, that God is going to be the one to reward. Servants are not looking for those they serve to reward them.
Come on.
Servants understand that God will exalt them. You know, I was thinking about this point 7, servants understand that God ultimately promotes. And I was thinking about servants in particularly the hotel industry, those that work to clean the rooms, those that work in the restaurants, even at the front desk. A lot of times, servants in hotels tolerate all sorts of mistreatment by people that are guests. And you wonder, how can this person keep on serving with a smile? It's because they started the day out with the understanding that their promotion does not come or will not come from those they serve, but the promotion comes from those who are in charge. So they'll serve you and I, even if we have a bad attitude, with a smile, because they understand that you and I don't control the promotion, but the promotion comes from upstairs. So servants understand that ultimately the promotion doesn't come from those they serve, but the promotion comes from the one that commissioned them to serve. And at the end of the day, if we are approved by the one that commissioned us to serve, no man can stop our promotion, because promotion doesn't come from the north, south, east, or west, but it comes from above. God's the one that pulls down one and lifts up another, and servants understand that. So my prayer today is that all of us that are on this broadcast and listening, that we take inventory of our own hearts and we ask ourselves, why do we do what we do? Why do we occupy the roles, the positions? Why do we have the titles we have? Is it to bring glory to God, or is it for self-promotion? A true servant has no agenda, but ultimately, through his or her life, to bring glory to Jesus Christ. Now, God is looking for true servants, those that have the very heart of it. And my prayer today is that every one of you that are listening, that you have the heart of a servant. God bless you. I love you now.
Ah, wow. What a word. My. I don't know if we're continuing on next week, but this is needful. This is needful, and he spoke directly to my heart, Bishop. I tell you, in the community that I was raised and reared in, and my mother bought a home when I was 13 years old, and we moved further uptown in a better neighborhood. But the neighbor I was reared in around the Melpomene Project, Liberty Street, PepsiCo, and as I ride in that neighborhood, there's a new breed of people in the area. So I've been gone 30 years, and God just been dealing with my heart. One lady is about 83 years old. She was a bar owner. She owned four lounges. She built a brick home right there in that same neighborhood. And now she's up in age, but she still caters to the kids and sell, you know how we buy the icebergs and the chips and everything to keep them from running all around the little neighborhood. So they come to her house. Little kids starting off at 6 or 7 years old, they run across the street. I want an iceberg, Miss Edna. Now, she's retired. She's up in age. She's lived a successful life as an entrepreneur. But she could have moved to the suburbs.
Wow.
She could have moved out. I mean, had four lounges. I mean, was booming. Business was booming. And I go and I talk to her sometime, and I'm able to glean from her. And she began to share a story with me. And she said, I never drank in my life. She said, I never smoked a cigarette in my life. She said, but one of my friends owned Rose Tavern back there on Durgeon 1, Thalia. And she said she was about to lose the business. So she was moving out of town. And she gave her a proposition. She said, if you rent this place, she said, it's yours. Pay the back rent on it, it's yours. That's how she got into the lounge business. And she said her husband couldn't understand because he said, Edna, you don't drink. She said, I didn't even know how to mix a drink. But I'm here to serve you all notice today. If your heart is pure, God has a destiny for us, and sometimes we don't know how it's going to play out. But as I go and I glean from Miss Edna, and she began to tell me, she said, you know, I built this brick home right here in the neighborhood. This was the neighborhood that caused me to be able to send my children to school, to college, and what have you. She said, nah, I'm old. She said, nah, I'm not making no money off of these little kids. But she said, I know they have to go somewhere and buy these things. So she said, I just have it here for her. So it's really something for her to do. And as I looked, I said, Bishop, I said, I looked at how the neighborhood, and it's so imperative to us to train these young women and these young men. Take them up under your, bring them in your house sometimes. Sometimes they just need some love and attention. And I look, I say, now after they finish partying, you know, they get their jumpers and they buy, we buy everything that we want. And we beg for what we need. Ah, you know, most shot, yeah. And I look at that, I say, now, Lord, you know what? I'm just going to round up some of these kids and just start a little Sunday school on Sunday. And get them, even if I got to tell Miss Edna, clean out a yard and let them come on the line and teach these children. You know, if we can teach the children, then sooner or later we can get the parents. But sometimes we look at the adults, and I have a heart for Sunday school. I have a heart for these kids, and we can reach back. Yes, God may bless you to move out of your neighborhood and move into the suburbs and live in a better community, but we have a responsibility. We have a responsibility, and we have to go back. We have to go back. You don't have to live like that. You don't have to eat like they eat. Some of these kids don't ever get an opportunity to go to a New Orleans Pelicans game. They don't get a chance to go to the Saints game. I lived here in New Orleans. The French Quarters don't move me. The party and the Mardi Gras, that don't move me because I was birthed into this atmosphere. I was birthed in this culture. So my responsibility, and I believe that's why the Lord sent me back, some people God has assigned just for you. But are you willing to make a sacrifice? Are you willing to come out the comforts of your home and say, Lord, I'll just dedicate 1 hour. 1 hour on Saturday, make a sacrifice. And if it's no more to them to just visit the sick, if it's no more to take one of those children or a couple of them and bring them to McDonald's, it's not taking anything from us. And yesterday,
Hallelujah.
Bishop, I was insulted because one of my grandbaby's aunt was dropping him off after the show, and not yesterday, it was Wednesday. And so when she brought him to the doorstep, the young lady, I believe it was Kenta, she had her hands on the girl vehicle, and she was shaking her rump. And I said, wait. Not in this, not right here, baby. You're not going to do that. And she said, oh, I'm sorry, miss. Yes, you need to be sorry because I don't care. And one moment, the music was playing from the car. She gets out the car. Get out the car and start. I said, don't bring her back here anymore. Okay? Don't do that. Because that's disrespectful. If you don't care anything about yourself, have some respect for your neighbors. Have some respect for your elders. But nobody is teaching. And yes, we know the responsibility lays on the parents. But we have a responsibility when we open up the doors to the house of prayer, the house of worship. That's a place where we're coming to get our needs met. Ah, glory to God. We're not coming there to try to see who God. Sometimes I want to just come in there and just be bare because we have to be transparent. You know, when I was younger, I liked the designer things because I was out there doing, I was able to get all of that stuff. But none of those, after you mature, then you really find your true calling. Then you realize that all of these material trappings, if you serve God and put him first, God will give you the best. He'll give you the best, but guess what? It's going to cost you something because he's not giving you the best for you to have that ego like Bishop talked about. He's not giving you the best for that, but he's giving you the best, and he's entrusting you because guess what? He wants you to go back and pull somebody else out. Go back and look in that pit that you was in and find somebody else that's still in that pit. Ah, glory
that's
to
right.
God. So we have a work to do. We have a serious job, and we don't have time to hate on one another. Ask God for what your gifting and your calling is. And I guarantee you, if you ask God, you'll walk in humility and you'll walk in. I tell my mother every day, she say, Adrian, you need to go and get you a job. I say, I have the best employer in the world. I work for God. I work for him, and I look to him to provide my needs. Now, we have to make some sense now. You know you can't pay your bills if you don't have anything coming in. But we have to learn how to trust God in spite of everything. So I tell her, and I say every day, Bishop, this is an assignment, and until God release me from this assignment, we have people come on this line that I'll never meet, that I'll never see, but I have a discernment. I can discern.
Amen.
I can discern. So, Bishop, everything you said, I, Lord, I concur with it all. It don't take a whole lot of folks.
No, it doesn't.
It don't take but two or three, really. If two or
That's
three
wrong.
Would connect and get the same mind and not get jealous or envious of one another. And if I get there, guess what? I'm going to reach back and you're going to get there. And then the third person, guess what? The second person going to reach. It's a chain reaction. But we got to come out of this competitive spirit. And I see that more prevalent, Bishop, in Christendom than I see anywhere else in the world. The world loves one another. They come together with a common cause because they have one goal, and that is to seduce you in whatever manner they can. Seducing just don't mean lusting after you to get you in the bed. They can seduce you to go in your pocketbook, and they can make you to believe a lie rather than the truth. Okay?
That's exactly right.
So seduction is in every form. So people of God, I take my hats off to Bishop. You know, I don't know anything on his life. They have been loving. They have been kind. And I know he had the same trauma, the same drama that we all have. Because we all were born in dysfunctional families. Amen. Even those that are saved, there's some dysfunction there. So he's not in a position where none of the atrocities and none of the cares of life, it don't affect his children, it don't affect his family, it don't affect the parishioners that God has given him charge over. We all are going through something.
And,
you know, you might wear yours a little bit better than I wear mine. Okay, but we all are going through something. We need the heart of a servant. And that was the scripture that I opened up with Bishop on last week, Philippians chapter 2. If we can just tap into how to serve without an agenda, as he said so eloquently. You know, God, I tell you, we would have that experience that they had on the day of Pentecost. Nobody would be in lack. Every man's needs was met. Nobody was in lack. That's what the Bible says. But we got
to get there.
So, Bishop, I thank God for you taking out your busy schedule, and I know you're busy, and you're traveling here and there. And I'm going to ask right now, just before you dismiss, I'm going to see my cousin was on the line, Pastor Jackie McLemore. Amen. And I'm going to ask Pastor Jackie, and she's out of Montgomery, Alabama. She's been pastoring for over 13 years, a woman of God. You all, the world, haven't really heard her. But I'm going to ask Jackie to pray a special blessing over Bishop R.C. Blakes and the work that God has given him to do, not just in the city of New Orleans, but all over this country. And I want you all to know that he have a book, and you can tap into, Bishop will give you that website. Tap into is, well, I know the website. It's rcblakes.org, and you can go there. He has a book that he has published, and it's called The Father-Daughter Talk. And he also have another book that I just fell in love with, and that is The Laws of Manifesting Your Vision. Amen. So it behooves you to get these two books in your library. And those of you that have children, have teenagers, and have young adults in your family, and they're not serving God, and they're still caught up, I tell you, especially these young women, it's something that God has given him the heart to talk to the young women, and not just the young women. You got some old ones that's mothers, and they're running the clubs, and they're backing it up like their daughters. It's a disgrace. So, Pastor Jackie, would you just pray over Bishop for me? And Bishop, we're gonna release you, and we just thank you for just being the man of God that you are. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your humility. And most of all, we thank you for the love that you have. And I see how you demonstrate that love. Everybody, I think Bishop know everybody in that church just about. And that's why I love smaller congregations. I'll get lost in a mega church because I won't have that one-on-one with the pastor, okay? And I need to know that he is really watching for my soul. So, Pastor Jackie, God bless you.
God bless you. Bishop, may I pray for you, please?
Yes, ma'am, please.
Praise the Lord. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you today. Thank you, Lord God, for sending a word. Thank you for this rhema word that we need at this time. Father, I ask now that you will bless this man of God. Father, you know every need. You know every desire that he has in his heart, spoken and unspoken, God. Father, now I ask that you will bless his feet. You said in your word that everywhere, my God, men of God's feet trod, that they are blessed. Now, God, we take that same word for Bishop Blake. In the name of Jesus, Father, bless his family. My God, go. Go in places, my God, where the enemy has set up, my God, traps for him. And I ask you now, God, to tear them down in the name of Jesus. I don't care, Father, who is sitting there. I don't care if they're from, my God, witches and warlocks. They have no power where his feet were trod because of the anointing that's upon this man. In the name of Jesus, I thank you, God, for the humbleness. My God, you've already stated in your word what happens to the humbleness and the humble.
Hallelujah.
And God, I see, I feel, I thank you, Lord God, that he has a desire for God's people to live this word out. Father, bless his family in the name of Jesus. My God, his finances are blessed in the name of Jesus. I thank you, my God, even his health. I ask you now, God, you do what you need to do in those areas, God, so that he can be able to have the life that you have already said longevity in him, on him, in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you that you're not finished with him, that you're going to bring him before kings and queens in the name of Jesus. Because that does not matter to him, but because of his humbleness. Bring him forth, God. Bring him forth. In the name of Jesus, make his books to sell like never before. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Bring his name. You said you'll make his name big. And I thank you, God. The same word that you have said to the fathers of old speaks for this father. In Jesus' name. And we thank you and we praise you that he'll forever be at your feet in Jesus' name. And his heart continue to be that of a servant. God, I thank you that you've made of him a servant. I thank you that he's a servant and God, he's not a slave. Because a slave, you have to make them do it. But a servant has just a mind to do it. That's his heart, God. And bless him more and more and more in Jesus' name. And it is so.
Amen.
God bless
amen.
You, man of God.
Amen, amen. I love you. Thank you
love
so much.
Love you too, Bishop.
I needed that. I needed that. Just tell everybody I love them. I wish I could stay with you all.
We understand, Bishop. Thank you for traveling. Thank you. Hallelujah.
Thank you, my
God
dear.
Bless.
Thank you so much.
Amen.
I appreciate you all. Bye-bye.
Amen. Bye-bye. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. You don't know more. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We bless you today, God. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. We got quite a few callers on the line today. You don't know more. Didn't know where to go in here. I saw Jackie earlier. And I just open up a line, amen, amen. I'm going to let Jackie have a word. Then we're going to come right on to you all and let you all off the line today. We thank God for that word that we heard. God bless you. This is my cousin out of Montgomery, Alabama. She's gone. Y'all be looking for her. She'll be in New Orleans real soon. Amen. She is a pastor. She is a mother. She's a grandmother. Amen. She's a woman that loved the Lord. She's also an evangelist. She traveled around the globe preaching women conferences and all kinds of conferences and just trying to be a help to the body of Christ. Amen. She lives in Montgomery, Alabama, and her ministry is Kingdom and Forces Ministries. Amen. So God bless you, my cousin. So good to see you today and hear you.
God bless you, you. God bless you and bless you to the listening audience. I'm so happy. I'm just thrilled that the Lord just gave me the mind to be able at a time to be able to come on and to be with you all today. I bless the Lord because it's amazing. We've been talking about servants, and the man of God just hit on so many points concerning servanthood today. And we just know that God, and this is about order, this is about order, and God is bringing his people into a time of order. We have to be in order now. We have to be in a mindset of servants because of our leadership. Leadership is so targeted at this point here. And if we don't have individuals that will serve, amen, in the capacity that they are assigned to serve, there's going to be a breakdown. And people have it wrong. We have so many manservants now, but we don't have enough God servants. And so this is where the whole breakdown is. But people of God, just want to encourage you today to serve, to become that servant that God has called you to be. I believe if we serve, amen, in the capacities that God has brought us to serve, God is the one that's going to bring you to the top. You don't have to brown nose to get there. You don't have to fight to get there. All we need to do is serve. Just remember, somebody is watching you. Somebody is watching you, and that somebody that I'm talking about is God. If you don't ever get anything from man, make sure you do it to get it from God, because I'm telling you, God can pay you more than you're worth. And that is the major thing. We must understand now, if we keep ourselves, then we are at a real dysfunction in place. But if we allow God to keep us, we can go to the greater. So be encouraged, Cousin Adrian. Be encouraged, people of God. Let's just get in a place where we just make God happy. Just make God happy. Just make him happy. Every time he hears your name, he ought to be just happy. If they call it, whether they call it in the White House or call it in the poorhouse, just let God be happy about what you're doing. And we bless you today. And just remember this, you will be in perfect peace if you keep your mind stayed on Jesus. God bless you today. Thank you, Cousin Adrian, for giving me this time.
All right. God bless you, Jack. So good to see you. Give everybody my love. Amen.
I will, dear.
We're going to go to Mother Charity. Amen. Then I have a few callers, unknown numbers that I'm not familiar with, and they've been on since the start of the broadcast. We're going to acknowledge them in a minute. Amen. Mother Charity, God bless you.
Praise the Lord. God bless you all. Man, I certainly enjoyed those words coming from Bishop Blake. Praise the Lord. Amen. About still under that same topic, being humble. Amen. And the servant. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, it's a good thing, amen, to know, hallelujah, your place in God. Thank you, Lord. And God doesn't bless the high-minded. Hallelujah.
Come on, Mother.
Holy of heart, in the name of Jesus. Amen. And we should look to see if whatever part we can play as a servant. Hallelujah. Because remember that you serve God by serving one another. In Jesus' name, y'all pray for us in Jesus' name now. God bless.
Amen, amen. God bless you, Mother. We love you. Amen. We're going to area code 248, and the last four of your number is 3924. God bless you, caller. Thank you for tuning in.
Praise the Lord.
Praise him.
Praise the Lord. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, praise the Lord. This is Sister Deborah Smith from Power, Hope, and Grace, where my pastor is the Honorable Dr. Quentin Wingate. And I certainly thank the Lord for the invitation. I'm just learning about this broadcast for the first time. And I was received a call from Sister Charity's daughter, Sister Deborah Charity, of whom I've known for the past 37 years. We worship at the same assembly. Yes, indeed. Yes, and so I certainly enjoyed that word. That was a very timely and profound message that we did with. I hope it was. It would be wonderful if it could have been broadcasted over the entire world. You know,
wow.
Because that is so important, as Sister Charity was saying, to have that, and Bishop Blake was saying, to have that humble spirit of a servant is supposed to have an humble spirit, because like the scripture says, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before the fall. Yes, we are not to look to have our name in lights and try to see, you know, how big we can get and how well known, like we're in a popularity contest. But this thing is about being meek and humble, because our reward is coming from God. That's who we are striving to please, because we want to look upon his dear face one day and one day soon and see him in peace and hear him say, well done. My sister, be encouraged. I enjoyed you. I enjoyed Pastor Blake, and thank the Lord for Sister Deborah, who called me and invited me to tune in. Yes,
all right,
ma'am.
I'm going to have to give her a little call and say, all right, Sister Deborah, you working.
Yes, ma'am.
Amen. Well, thank you for tuning in all the way out of Detroit. Amen. I tell you, God has people all over the nation.
Yes, he does.
Don't you ever think he's going to be left without a witness. God has somebody that's going to serve him, somebody that's going to live holy. Amen.
Oh, yes.
Well, we thank you. Don't let this be your last time, okay?
Oh, certainly not. Certainly not.
All right. All
okay,
right. Well,
love
God
you, my dear.
You. Love
okay.
you, too. We see another area code all the way out of New Orleans. The last four of your number is 1396. Can you greet us?
Yes, this is Evangelist Pamela Casimir. How are you doing, Evangelist?
God bless you, Evangelist Casimir. God bless you.
I was just blessed just to be on this broadcast with you on this afternoon and to hear Bishop Blake talk about servanthood, and that's just the bottom line where it is, you know, that God wants us to be servants, because Jesus, he himself said that he did not come to be served, but to serve others. And that's what ministry is about. It's not about our name. It's not about our platform or our programs or our churches. It's about serving the people of God, serving hurting people. Amen. So I was just blessed, and I'm just excited to be connected with your broadcast. And this was just another reminder that as we're called into the ministry, we're called to be servants of the Most High God.
Glory to God. Well, we certainly thank the woman of God for coming on and sharing with us today. And I tell you, God is doing something. This thing is just humbling me a little bit more. Amen, amen. We're going to thank you, Evangelist Casimir. We're going to go to Pastor Gloria Smith. God bless you. We're going to get on that line before you leave. Look for me any day, okay?
Amen. God bless you.
All right, God bless. Pastor Gloria, God bless you. We had a lot of calls. Some of you fell off the line, so we're going to get to a couple of more, and then we're going to let you all go. God bless you. Pastor Gloria. Amen. She might have
Pastor
a line
Bernard,
on me.
Pastor Bernard, I tell you, you done started something. Good God.
Jesus. Glory to God.
That was a word. I don't know if you're going to continue this next week, but I'm telling you, God is doing something. The people need to go back into the archives and tap into our chief.
Yes.
The word that's been coming forth across this broadcast, it is needed. And as the mother said, especially with the leadership. God, Lord have mercy. Leadership is under attack. God is uncovering, he's exposing, he's bringing some that's been unheard of and that's been underneath to the forefront. That was a word from God. And I thank God for using you to be an instrument to bring this word to the forefront, what is needed. And I pray the people here and adhere to what God has been allowing, amen, to come across this broadcast, because it's been rhema. It's been nothing but a rhema word. And I pray they receive it and act upon them.
Glory to God. You know, Pastor Gloria, as I share with them all the time, I'm always in awe. You know, when God tells you to do something, it may seem crazy to others. But when God told me to launch this broadcast, I said, look, I was a novice. I didn't know nothing about none of this. But God taught me, even with the, I have people sometimes that know some of the little things that I do, even with, I look at the flyers and what have you. Never went to no computer school to do none of this stuff. But God, because I have a heart for him. And even today, you know, I was excited about Bishop Blake's coming in and been up, and I had to go back in, and I have a little log that I keep, whereas when people come on the line and speak, sometimes they want to send somebody to that message. And I keep a log, and I have the dates and the time and the topics and what day they actually spoke. So you can go back and search the archives and listen to that message. And so I got behind, and I was like, Lord, I was behind. I didn't even know, Pastor Smith, I didn't even know. It haven't even dawned on me that I've been here in this city 6 months. And today, marks the 6 month, and I'm like, Lord, where? I was telling people I moved back about 3 or 4 months ago, but it's been 6 months, not 3 or 4 months. So, you know, I'm just shaking myself, and I'm shaking myself, and I look at the listeners, those that call in live, those that go back into the archives, those that come in on the chat room. People are seeking for something, and I tell people that we're not here to debate. We're not here to challenge anybody. We're not here to argue your calling or the work that God has given you. We're here to preach and teach the unadulterated word of God. And if it finds you, work on yourself. If it finds you, it was meant to find you. Because guess what? God always sends us a warning. Now, we may not heed to that warning, but you can't tell God you weren't warned. You can't tell God you didn't hear it. Because just for these past 2 weeks on this particular topic, and then on Wednesday, God did a shift, and Jackie wasn't even on the line, and God began to talk through Prophet Michael Davis, the order of the church. We don't want folks don't want order. We won't do what we want to do, but God has an order. He has an order. So we just bless God. We just Pastor Gloria, I'm just in awe. And Mother Charity, Mother have been so faithful. Mother is 83 years old, and she has been diligent. She has been faithful. When she's able to get on this line, sometimes she's she's on like house shutdown, and she gets on this line. She's not able to go out to her assembly sometimes, but she gets on this line every day, and when I see Mother, it gives me strength. It encourages me because I know one thing, if God have preserved Mother and have kept her alive, where she's still able to teach us, she's still able to impart wisdom and knowledge to us, that, you know, what more can you ask for? What more can you ask for? So, people of God, please get busy. Don't procrastinate. Don't put off your assignment and put it on someone else. Whatever God has given you to do, if it's no more than cleaning up the church, be diligent. Be faithful to it. And I am a witness. Dr. Singleton, I'm going to say this, and I've got two or three more calls. Dr. Singleton that comes on our line, that's my cousin out of Los Angeles. I got saved under his father. This young man have been diligently doing maintenance, janitorial work for the church. He's there on Sunday mornings. And he's been doing this since he was a young man. He's almost turning 50 in January, and he's still doing the same thing. Hallelujah, same thing. He's a doctor. He has degrees. He's been to seminary. I call him, he's a walking Bible. But you know what? He know his responsibility. He knows that God, his father look for him to do that, and he do it. You know, sometimes we get the big head, oh, I ain't sweeping no, oh, you got to find somebody else to clean the church. Who they think I am? Well, whatever your hands find to do, serving mean all areas, mother. You can't be selected mm-hmm. in your servitude. Hallelujah. If it means going in the kitchen to put some water in the glass to serve the guests, if it means mopping the floor, sweeping the counter, guess what? That's serving. But we want to get on the pulpit. We want our name called and all of this crazy stuff. But if you do the work, guess what? God will exalt you. He'll honor you. Hallelujah, God will exalt you, but we have to come back and take on the role of a servant. That's what we're here for. We're here to serve. The pastors, that's what they are. They're servants. Hallelujah. They may get some of the amenities and some of the things that's afforded to them and their family, but guess what? When they got a crisis, they're not calling you up. They're going to call Pastor Gloria. They're going to call Pastor Jackie, Pastor Beatrice. That's who they're calling at 1 and 2 and 3 in the morning. Uh-huh, when their children get in trouble. Uh-huh, when somebody's sick. When one of these rebellious kids that went out and messed up, they're waking you up. So it's, you know, it's, I honor the men and women of God. I honor leadership. And not just because I'm in leadership, but guess what? We were taught how to serve. We were taught how to serve. And that's what you do.
Yes, God.
You know, the pastor family, when they came over, you know, my grandmother and them, who? Y'all better go in the yard somewhere or go on the porch. Let him come on in here. And if they had something cooked, they were going to serve them first. Okay?
God.
So what you going to get mad about? They're guests. So when you invite guests, you're supposed to treat them royally. You're supposed to lay out the red carpet for them. You're an everyday person in the house. You're not the guest. Look at the prodigal son. Hallelujah. The boy told his father, say, you know, you never killed a calf for me. But here this your son went out and took his inheritance and spent it on all kind of stuff. And now he's coming back because he done spent all that he had. And you're going to kill a calf for him? You know what the father told him? He said, I'm paraphrasing. The father said, son, everything that I have is yours. You was right here with me. He said, but this was my son that was lost. This was my son that I was praying and crying out to the Lord for to bring him home. So I want him to know in his return that even though you went out and messed up, the love that I have for you goes beyond your inheritance. The love that I have for you, glory to God. We don't understand that. Because we're serving, and we're saying they don't ever call my name. Here you're no Messiah. But you know what? God knows all of our hearts. Some children need more attention than others. Some children, you're trying to keep them in the body. And if it takes you going the extra mile to encourage them and to show them love, that's what you have to do. What did Jesus say? If one sheep is lost, leave that 99 and go get that one. Mm-hmm. That's love. That's serving. That's what a servant will do. Amen, amen. So God bless you all. I see Prophet Carlos. God bless you, man of God. You don't know Messiah. Thank you.
Grace, God bless you. Amen. We greet everybody in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.
Jesus.
To
Amen. Evangelist, amen. I call her Pastor Bernard. Amen. Let's just get praise. God praise. I praise God for Bishop Blake. Amen. I did hear the message, and I thank God for that. Yes. I give God praise for the message. Amen. Because a lot of times, if you don't learn to have a servant's heart, amen, I don't know what people would do. One of the things that I've learned as a young man was learn how to serve early, being the pastor's armor bearer. People think that it's nothing carrying a briefcase or carrying the pastor's robe or picking out the pastor's robe or making sure that everything is together, making us praying for them. You know, people take that very lightly, but I'm one of them that can assure you, you don't take that lightly. You know, being a servant is one of the powerful things that can ever take place, because guess what? When the oil begins to flow, you can be one of them that will get hit with the oil. Oh, God. So we just praise the Lord. I'm encouraged today. I'm encouraged as I get ready to step into this new phase of ministry. Amen. I give God praise. I really give God praise. Amen. Because I'm asking God to equip me with some other areas. I'm equipped for the job, but there's some other areas I'm asking God to equip me in. That way, you know, I can be the man that God has really called for such a time as this. And I was really encouraged today by hearing the message. Y'all continue to play my joy and strength in the Holy Ghost, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God is still good. Amen. Pastor Menard. That's away from the phone. Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise God. I had it on mute for a second. Amen. Praise God. Thank God for you, Prophet Pearson. You know, God is going to use you. We all have to come to a place in our life where we have to humble ourselves. We have to seek God.
True.
And you know, this flesh don't want to go through anything. My flesh is just like yours. It don't want to go through nothing. Hallelujah. That's why we got to crucify. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That's why we got to kill this flesh. Amen. And bring it under subjection where we can honor that which God has given us to do. Woo! Glory to God. It's a wonderful time. Pass glory to be in the body of Christ. It's a wonderful time to be a servant, called a servant. Ah, you know no more. A servant. We don't know what, and you know, many times I heard Prophet Carlos say that, you know, being armor bearer. You know, sometimes people look at these different positions and they'll label you as a flunky. You know, he a flunky, sucking up to the pastor. Well, that's the one you better be trying to suck up to, because guess what? If he can connect with God, everybody don't have that connection. You need to be able to get to somebody that will encourage you, somebody that will teach you properly. It's nothing wrong with that. Amen. So don't be dismayed. God is not through with us yet. He's not through with us. Amen. So we thank God for you. We getting off a little bit early today. I know it's Friday for everybody. I had to win all day. Friday is my little fish day. And I say, Lord, I hadn't even thought about fish today. Amen. You know, you get so caught up into what you're doing, and it just takes your mind off of food. Today wasn't one of my fast days, but I could have labeled it as a fast day because I wasn't able to really think about putting anything in my stomach. But anyway, I thank God for this series. I really thank God for this series, and you all be praying along with us over the weekend, and I don't know if God is going to continue on. I always like to hear different perspectives, and that's why we bring on different speakers amen. Some of the pastors, you know, these bishops are very busy, and some of the pastors are very busy, but those that can take out of their busy schedule and come on and share an hour or two. Oh, what, yesterday, if you all didn't get the, I'm telling you, you all need to get this whole week, go back into the archives, and I'm looking for somebody to download Minister Democrat, and you all continue to pray for him, would do that for us, would download these messages and everything. We want to get them on CDs and be able to promote these messages, and also that'll be an avenue where we can bring some funds into our ministry. There is so much work that needs to be done, and how many know that it takes money, amen, to do ministry. You can't do ministry without money, amen. And we all know that God is the provider. God is the provider, but we have not because we ask not. So I'm looking this season, I'm not looking for partners, amen, because that really, you know, hey, they come and go. But I'm looking for sponsors. Sponsors take their role a little bit more seriously, you know, because when you look for sponsors, you know, they're looking to provide, they're looking to promote, and they're also looking to protect their investment. So we need some sponsors. There's some things that the Lord has put in my spirit to do in the community and here in the city of New Orleans. So we're going to be getting out sending out a letter to those of you that do emails and texts and all of those different avenues of communication, and we're looking for some sponsors. And, you know, if you can only sponsor someone and sow a 10-hour a month seed, you don't know what that'll do to help promote the growth of the ministry, to help to promote the community and in the areas that we're targeting, to get out and just teach and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. This gospel going to be preached. If we don't do it, God has somebody that's going to do it. So stay connected, stay encouraged, and have a beautiful weekend. Everybody have just about dropped off. Remember, if you can tune in tomorrow, Sister Renita is hosting for Minister Billy Burns on our Saturday segment. It's still under our umbrella. Amen, and it comes on at 8 Eastern time. And it's the same dial-in number, 8 Eastern time, and that's 7 Pacific Standard and 5 on the West Coast. So make a sacrifice. This is a time where they give their testimonies, and the name of that segment is called They Overcame. And Sister Renita will be co-hosting tomorrow in the stead of Minister Billy Burns. Amen. Continue to pray for us and keep us lifted up before the Lord, that God would continue to do the work that he have begun in us. Amen. God bless you all. Have a beautiful weekend, and we'll see you. If not tomorrow, we'll see you on early Sunday morning prayer. Pastor Miracle Burleson is opening up that early Sunday morning prayer for us. It begins at 7 in the morning Pacific Standard Time. Amen. Central Time is 9 a.m. and 10 a.m. on the East Coast. So many of you all are in your houses of worship. But if you're on the West Coast or you are in the Mid-Eastern area and you're in the Central Time Zone, 9 o'clock, tune in for 30 minutes. That's all we need, 30 minutes. And we just have corporate prayer. And we lift up the leaders of this nation. We lift up our families. We lift up the sick and the shut-in. We pray for the bereaved. And we pray for God to just bless those that are going into the houses of worship. Amen. So if you can tune in, the same telephone number, area code 858-683-1334. God bless you. We love you with the love of God. We're going to call God.
Cars in the driveway, I have house I can play. Clothes in my closet, I've got a bed for my head. Shoes for my feet, I've got breath in my body. And if I was just anybody, I'd say it's all good, but I know better.
Believe to see the goodness of God in the land of the living. And what we come to understand and know that even when it doesn't look good, it works for the good. To all those that are called according to his purpose, help me say,
it's all good.
It's all God.
It's all good.
Everything going on in my life. And it's all God. Had a few heels to climb. Oh, 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 oh. I don't know what they face tonight, but I know it's all God.
Hey, it's
don't say nothing.
But that was by, like they normally do.
I know. Usually she said, Brock, thank you for